Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 262. We are back, although a man down for the next couple weeks, so I don't know exactly how we're going to end July now that I look at the calendar and it's getting ready to end. Joining me this week, as he always does, it's John.
So cold. But glad to be here, all the same.
Yeah, I almost get the sense Glacinator feels bad when he has to be gone, but dude, you're 20 fucking 3. You could not... we'd have done two shows if I tried doing this when I was 23. Both of them I would have been drunk, and you're lucky if you would have got anything on tape. Or digital file. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, Glacinator, if you're listening to this because you're driving places... Dude, we totally understand. Trust us. I got a message from you on Facebook. Apparently, I'm getting one from Glacinator as well. That the weather in Newfoundland is so confusing. This is my interpretation of John's post and a link he sent with said post. That... the weather in Newfoundland currently is so confusing that even the weather people can't keep up to it with it.
Yeah, it's been... I'm not sure if we've hit the record or not, but we're having the most miserable summer July weather since 1964 or something like that, I believe I heard. It's been... less than 15 Celsius, sometimes less than 10 Celsius in July.
Jesus.
A couple of nights, several nights actually. It's been very foggy, a lot of rain. Mr. Golden Sun has forsaken us, which is actually unusual for July. Usually July and August. I mean, June's okay. No, it's a little bit wet, but not too bad. But July and August are normally our very strong summer months into September, but this year has been abysmal.
Yeah, I think it's pretty funny because we're going through a pretty bad drought here. I honestly now kind of need to mark down when we have dry winters just because I can't for a fact state that the media is full of shit that it's been 4 years. But I'm fairly certain that they're full of shit. It's been 4 full years. But what's interesting about it is now we're going to get an El Nino, which in a state that's been dry for at least 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. I have this sneaking suspicion that the family rancheria may lose the same fence it lost last winter. And since we paid a contractor to replace it this time, they may not be too amused by that.
Yeah.
When things start to cost you actual real money. Now, me, I understand that these things happen. And even if it was coming out of my own pocket, that's a cost of doing business. Mind you, it's much easier and more entertaining when it's not coming out of my pocket. Still going to get screamed at either way, I would imagine. But it's just... I think we forget that even with global warming, which reasonable people accept is happening... and reasonable people also accept that we've played some part in it this time around. The hitch point for me has always been how much part have we played in it, honestly. And again, I'm not denying anything, but I still have questions that have not been properly answered. Point being is we forget that Mother Nature tends to have its own ideas about stuff even before we really had some kind of impact on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to your point about confusing weather around here, Newfoundland is known definitely for having varied weather systems, you know, high winds, low winds, you know, nothing really consistent, you know, just you can have fog. I mean, I know just driving across the island, you can hit 5 different weather systems from East Coast to West Coast, no problem, right along the way, and just, elevation plays a big part as well. Like where I live up close to the airport, we're pretty high up, and there's easily a 4 to 5 degree Celsius degree difference between myself and Roger, who lives closer to downtown, down over the hill and down at sea level. It's a funny place to live sometimes, and the weather does get people drives people a little bit crazy at times as well. I mean, I've come to accept it for the most part, but there is a breaking point when even and this goes back to the link that I sent to you and Glace. The running gag that the weatherman has kidnapped the summer, and they actually did a pretty funny little video where the cops came and arrested him.
Oh, right. I did. I think that was linked in the BuzzFeed thing.
They're at the bottom. Yeah,
I'm
they
pretty sure I didn't watch it, but I got even from the thumb, I got the general gist of the gag they were doing, which was.
yeah, because people like to blame the weatherman for bad weather, always reporting on bad weather when it happens. And so they kind of a little play on that. Apparently, Roger told me that another weatherman got arrested today as well in a similar gag. So, people are trying to have a brave face for it. But I mean, Wanda went for a run the other day, and she had a hat, mitts, and an insulated jacket on just to go for a what are they called? Like a boot camp. Boot camp running an obstacle thing, and it's getting bad.
Well, what else it struck me as too is that place has to just be insane for weather people, because here in a part of the US or part of North America where it's a valley, so one mountain range blocks off a lot of stuff, yet the other mountain range tends to hold it here maybe 24 to 48 hours longer than it would if it was flatter. Makes weather prediction probably more consistent, and yet they still managed to screw it up to the point where, when I was just getting out of college, and of course being involved in agriculture also plays a part into this, that I finally found one weather site, a now app on my phone, that did it consistently enough that I just ignore everything else, including the National Weather Service, which is run by the government and can't get it right. But at the same time, the thing that makes you guys have to suffer through summers like this at times is the fact that you have nothing blocking you from the Atlantic.
No. I mean, the further you go inland, it tends to warm up a little bit more. I've lived right on the water my whole life, and yeah, it when the wind blows northeasterly, it gets it, the temperatures drop pretty rapidly.
Yeah, and the only place I can think of that it doesn't get the temperature drops because it's further south that's similar is the Grand Banks there in, I think it's called the Grand Banks, in the Carolinas, that has some small full-time settlements there. During hurricane season, they're always being run out of there because there's just no. And I think Atlantic storms tend, on average, to be far more ferocious than we get here in the Pacific, which again I do believe is due to temperature, overall temperature and things of that nature. So living here on the left or west coast of the North American continent does tend to make it more, probably a little bit more hospitable. Although I've been over on our coast in the wintertime, and I like winter as much as I do too have my breaking point when you're stuck in the house for one reason or another for a couple of weeks, or mostly in the house. I wouldn't want to live on the coast even here. It's a bit too much for me, thanks. Because sometimes, see, they get the storms that sometimes die out over the one range before they get to me. Did you have you seen anything of Pat's posting of his skunk saga?
No, I did see him post share a picture of a tornado in his area.
Yeah, he had some golf ball size hail, which is a postman. Now, I don't. know for 100% if they're actually living under his porch, but apparently a mama skunk and three baby skunks are hanging out. It's like, yeah, he got a photo of it for me, one of the little guys the other night, because I've actually never seen a baby. I've seen plenty of adults, on our property and stuff like that. I had a Labrador that thought they were cats, and he got sprayed twice. That's always fun. But anyway, I found it very interesting because I'm not sure what my brain was thinking a skunk as a juvenile skunk would look like. Like, maybe it's all black and the white stripe fades in over time, but they just look like shrunken skunks. He was like, "Oh, I might try to step outside and get a better picture." I'm like, "Don't do it." Just don't. I would rather play with a bear. I quite honestly would rather have to work my way away from a bear than I would play with a skunk or a porcupine, either one. Because one, you're going to stink like hell, and the other one, you're going to get barbed. And now that may sound ridiculous because a bear could just maul you and kill you, but my experience has been, unless you're dealing with a campground bear who's on his last nerve, most bears tend to run the other way when you come about them in the woods.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of interesting there that even living in the suburb, in the suburbs in a city, sometimes we don't give wildlife enough credit for adapting. Doesn't mean we should, not do our best to protect them and so on and so forth when necessary, but these skunks seem to be doing okay living in Pat's neighborhood. I gotta say, we get hail here occasionally, and really, I'm further south, but we're kind of in the same, east-west zone, and I'm right up against mountains like he is. I've never seen hail that big here. I've seen hail that big in the south when I lived down there, but yeah, damn it, oh, that's what I was gonna tell you. This is a we're gonna do a. We're prophets, we are right segment. Did you see the headline that the Rise of the Tomb Raider is going to be out on PC sometime in 2016 and on PS4 holiday 2016? I mean, the Xbox is getting a year, but nailed it. How does so many people who would legitimately get paid to do this shit, not include that to at least lessen the fear in the comments?
I don't know. I mean, it's the most logical thing to have. I mean, why wouldn't they have some sort of a time exclusive into other platforms within a reasonable time? Makes no sense.
I had heard whispers, even after we talked about it. See, this is the thing, guys. We'll say stuff on the show, like when they said, "Oh, Rise of the Tomb Raider's Xbox exclusive," and we all went, we sounded like the Monty Python guys that hit themselves in the head with bricks. But we really didn't have anything concrete. That was our opinion. But then I started hearing little burbs here and there. Well, it's probably going to come to, little birdie says this, little rumor says that. And it's just like, no shit. No fucking shit. How did you, I just, it's like, oh. They're too busy chasing the latest outrage to put any thought into. Although, I do have to say, on the flip, I have heard zero about Street Fighter V going multi-platform. But then again, I know a few ex-Capcom employees and can tell you that Capcom, how in the fuck they're still even in business is pretty remarkable, quite honestly.
So what's that, Xbox One exclusive
I
or?
think that's a PS4 exclusive,
Oh,
actually. Let me see. I forget which way Capcom went, and whoever cut them the bigger check.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Street Fighter 5. March, yeah. Well, I take that back. It's a console exclusive. It's going to be on PS4 and Microsoft Windows. But the interesting thing is, it was only a couple weeks after the Rise of the Tomb Raider, which I think the first teaser trailer was shown at E3 2014, if I recall right. They're announcing these games with the fancy trailers and then delaying them and then mucking with them. So, I mean, it gets confusing sometimes. But, you know, within a couple weeks after the announcement, either way, I was hearing stuff that it's probably not going to stay exclusive. I guess Capcom is doing this because MS released Killer Instinct.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
really the only thing I can see. But Killer Instinct was what, a year ago? It was a launch title. Or close.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But is that really a competitor for Street Fighter,
It's
really?
another fighting game, though.
I guess, but like.
I mean, because, well, I'll tell you this, as somebody who's not a fighting game fan in any way, shape, or form, even though I do own one of the 50 bazillion versions of Street Fighter 2 on my Xbox 360, which I haven't even fired up in 6 months. It may no longer fire up. I see them as all pretty much competitors because they're all fighting games. Soul Calibur, Killer Instinct, Tekken, Street Fighter, you know.
Yeah.
There's some along the periphery that probably don't, you know, they're not in the same tier. I was about to say weight class, and maybe that would have been smarter to kind of continue the theme. But the ones that are on the same tier, I see them as kind of competitors. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me why Capcom decided to do this. So I'd been trying to assign some kind of logic to it. As Capcom is not exactly, you know, one of the big three. You know, they're not a big publisher anymore. They're not a. It'd be like Sega doing it at this point. You know, it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense. But whatever. So there you go. You now know that the Rise of the Tomb Raider will be on your preferred platform. I'm just gonna wait till it's on PC. Again, it's not a reason to buy an Xbox One.
Yeah, I was at my sister's earlier today, and my brother-in-law had the new Witcher 3 game on his PS4 running. Looked pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean they're definitely getting at the in the bottom end of PC would be my evaluation from what I've seen, actual mostly demo station, but actual on screen of the one and the PS4. So I think now it's about connectivity with the rest of the world. At some point, MS and Sony are going to have a super secret meeting in a hotel in some country or some part of this country or whatever, and just say, look, if you guys want to make these games so that everybody from every platform can play together, we're not going to stop you. And we'll monkey monkey with the code, ninja update, you know, you get a dashboard update. And there's interplay between them all. Because I honestly don't think at the end of the day, at the day? I'm already using a cliche and I'm fucking it up. Either case, it's not gonna cause people to change their buying habits simply because you can play with everybody else. You're still gonna have people who prefer Sony, and you still have good people who are gonna prefer Microsoft. And don't you think?
Oh, for
Crossplay's
sure.
not gonna cause any one to become more popular than the other.
Well, I mean, there's so many games that are on both platforms and stuff. What does it matter, right?
Yeah, I'm becoming less annoyed with exclusivity if it's timed like this. And I'm kind of hoping that as time passes forward, or, you know, time moves forward, that at most that's all we'll have to deal with.
Other than, you know, specific first party studios working on games, I don't see how any third party is ever going to be, you know, 100% exclusive again, you know, unless they're totally owned by a Microsoft or a Sony. I mean, there's just too much money to be made.
Well, and I honestly think MS is really getting less concerned about it. I mean, they had a golden opportunity to fuck everybody and their grandmother when they bought Minecraft. It would have been a PR disaster. But that's, you know, Mojang's now a first-party studio. for lack of a better term. That's probably also not the fairest example, but it does tell me that Microsoft, seeing that, you know, there's other ways to go about it. DLC drops first, this first, that first. I'm not saying there's DLC for Minecraft. Don't anybody shit themselves.
I mean, before they were sold, I back to Nintendo for a second. I don't know why they screwed the pooch so much on not getting that on a Wii U or something. I mean, it just seems so natural with the touchscreen and stuff to plan out what you want to build. And like, when you try on your Wii U, you have your menu and your gamepad, of course, but you also have that what was it called? The Plaza on your TV that shows all the currently, I guess, is the most popular games of the time, you know, of that moment. And so usually you see the new releases and stuff up there, and a couple of virtual console games that people are playing and commenting on. But there's always there's this one Minecraft clone whose icon is always there out of say there's 10. It's always there no matter what, and it's just it's like Minecraft. I don't know, Mine Shaft or something. It's the most blatant ripoff game, and there it is, sitting there being played all the time by people. Like, people just hungry and thirsty for Minecraft on a Nintendo system, and they didn't do it, or I don't know if someone blocked them or if it was too late. I don't know, but it just seems such an easy knock out of the park, right?
Well, I don't know if we want to get into this discussion fully, but there's been a lot of decisions by Nintendo in the last 4 or 5 years that I've still championed them from the Wii forward, but it's getting harder and harder by the day.
Just the number of kids who play Minecraft all the time, and like just the 1-2 punch of Nintendo characters and kid-friendly gameplay and Minecraft. Like, it just seems like peas and carrots, right?
Well, I think MS would still be okay with it, but my point was more, you know, in the most unfortunate way possible, Nintendo is looking at new leadership. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if maybe that that will bring some changes of its own, or is their structure so... I don't want to call it high mind, because that we've made that have a different connotation, but is their corporate structure so one thinking that, you know, nothing is going to change?
Yeah.
You know, because like I said, it's the way it's happened is the saddest and most unfortunate way possible, but you see this every time a high up changes. I mean, look how much the Xbox has changed since Phil Spencer took over for Don Mattick. Mm-hmm. Or Matrick, whichever it was. You know, I mean, that's, I put a lot of that on Spencer because he's always seemed to be more of a gamer, more in touch. And sometimes we don't give, or we don't quite understand that you can have a great business mind for the mechanics, and that's okay. But you get to a certain point in influence in a company where you have to have a pretty good understanding for the widget when it's in the consumer's hands. Mm-hmm. I see this quite often, honestly, where people have really great business minds. They're very analytical. They're very intelligent. They're very able to look at something and ferret out what's wrong with it. But you put them in charge of people, you put them in charge of an entire project, it becomes a clusterfuck because they don't know how to deal with people.
Yeah.
And you can expand that out to a company and its consumer base. You know, they can do a lot of great things internally. They can do a lot of good things, but then they don't handle the selling it to the consumer aspect right. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that was at Microsoft's problem with the Xbox One. Of course, having some dickhead who's no longer employed there tell people to just deal with it. That is the worst way possible to deal with anything.
Sunglasses on. Deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Well, it's stuff you see in forums. Like, there was a problem in the game I'm currently combing in Worm Online, and it had something to do with PvP, PvE, and a lot of dickheads were coming in there and going, so, what's your fucking problem? Quit whining, quit crying. It's like, dude, nobody asked for this. It just fucking happened, and we'd like to know when it's going to be fixed. You know, those kind of people should just be banned from an internet connection for like a couple weeks. Because, like, it goes back to what the saying our parents taught us. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. I know. Well, that kind of goes contrary to how I am, at least, sometimes on this show. But I didn't put much thought into Minecraft not being on a Nintendo platform, but it is pretty much like hand in glove fit for them. You really can't deny that.
Look, I mean, maybe they thought it was too late into the life. Like, no, not having an idea of the legs that Minecraft would have. You know, maybe they thought that it was too late or something like that, or I don't know. Well, I mean, I think it's done well on PS3 and PS4. I think, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's on all the consoles. It's sold great. In fact, if anything, it got more publicity there because groups like Achievement Hunter,
mm-hmm.
who tend to be console-centric, not very PC, and not very good at PC, and they try to record videos in it. I like those guys a lot, but them gaming on PCs is... It's not something they should do. They should definitely do consoles. It's much more entertaining and much more... a process they understand, you know. Right. It's not their dummies. That's a group and a company, the parent company, of course, being Rooster Teeth, that understands how to create content. But PC gaming has a different aspect to it than console gaming does. Point being, in that rambling mess, I think if anything, it being on console brought it to an even broader audience because of YouTube channels like Achievement Hunter. You know, and those guys doing, I mean, they're 100 and, I looked the other day just for the hell of it to see if they were actually still doing it. They're 170 some odd episodes into their Minecraft Let's Plays.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they do it in such a manner as they make it a competition. Of course, you got the comedy of the five to six people that they usually have, you know, on mic playing. But, you know, there's a lot of hipsters and a lot of dipshits that like to now make fun of, oh, Minecraft, that's still a thing, that whole shit. But there are people that are legitimately surprised. And the funny thing is, going back to what you were saying about, did Nintendo think it's still too late? My honest appraisal of the situation is it's not still too late now. Because no. The demographic's skewing even younger.
Yep, I agree.
I know the audience gets sick of us talking about Minecraft, but that Minecon thing and listening to Jeff of Achievement Hunter talk about the demographic and then reading stories about the demographic of Minecon, I mean, that was a bunch of drunken mid-20-year-olds and Notch and the Mojang Gang, the first one they had in Vegas. That was only 4 or 5 years ago.
Yep.
And now it's children down to your son's age going to those cons. I'm vamping while John tries to stifle. Yawn. That's right, I used a technical term. Don't do it, dude, because I'm not in much better shape than you are, and at least one of us has to pretend like, nah, fuck it. We're professional? Us? Are you fucking kidding me? But we will stop talking about that. But it, like I told you, I don't want to get into the discussion, especially when it's just two of us, but I'm going to be paying more attention to Nintendo now to see if anything looks like it's gonna change, and maybe they will wise up, work out a deal with MS and you know, get Minecraft on the next, you know, thing they're doing.
Mm-hmm. The name of the game is called Cube Life Island. It's called Cube Life Island Survival.
I actually think I've heard of that, but it may be because somebody pointed it out to me that it was in the Wii U shop or whatever.
And the icon is a, you know, your standard Minecraft, you know, like dirt with grass on top with what looks like an exact duplicate of a Minecraft picking a little piece out of it.
I don't know if MS is going to change it, but one of the benefits of Notch being Notch is so many clones, legitimate clones. That term, as we've said 1,000 times, gets thrown around way too much.
Oh, but, my gosh, it totally is a clone. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
While I'm on here, I'm looking at the Miiverse posts, and people are posting
Steenies.
screenshots.
Yeah.
It is exactly the same. Wow.
Yeah, I suspect the quality control people at Nintendo just let that slide on by. Oh, but what I was going to say, one final thing to wrap up any Minecraft discussion is the PR person, or one of the main PR people for Minecraft Now for MS, is somebody who used to be with the publisher of Saints Row and the Dead Island series. Fuck. Cannot think of who the name. Yeah, it's not coming to me. Anyways, that very nice slave lady, Aubrey Norris, went to, I think her last name is Norris. Either way, she went to work for MS. And I notice with a lot of communication coming out of Minecraft and stuff, it almost feels like Mojang's still being run as like a separate unit. You know, not so much an in-house studio like 343 or Rare. I'm wondering if that autonomy also gives them wiggle room on where Minecraft appears. You know, because honestly, if MS was finally going to put its foot down, I would think Minecon might have been a little different looking, or potentially, you know, run into more issues. And it sounds like it was the same basic setup and type of stuff as the previous Minecons had been, just with a different demographic. So, and that'll be something to keep an eye on for sure. The other thing that I saw floating around the social media more than anything was John Smedley resigned from Daybreak as CEO. The reason he did that is because he was the CEO who, when Lizard Squad decided to be assholes, I'm going to go ahead and say it. We'll just do an experiment here. I didn't do it with any of the other groups, but I will do it with them. He's the one that was the CEO that they phoned in a bomb threat and got his plane forced down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, they then continued to harass him. I don't have the article in front of me, people. It's that kind of show tonight. Actually, it's been that way this year entirely. But it sounded like he'd been swatted a number of times, which is essentially calling in a false type of situation to police that gets SWAT sent at them a number of times. The number I do remember this much was ridiculous. Somebody tried to start credit cards in his name. Somebody had attempted to file false tax returns in his name. And so he's gone through this ever since that Lizard Squad attack at Christmas that kind of funged up Xbox Live and really fucked Sony in the ass again. It might have fucked up Xbox Live. I don't think it was quite as long as Sony, but they both got hit equally this time, unlike the original Sony mess. They put his, you know, and it has continued since they were split off from Sony and became Daybreak. Well, a couple weeks ago, and I might have mentioned it in passing, but we didn't talk about it much. One of the douche canoes they caught, and he was actually charged, and I do believe this was in Europe, and he had like hundreds of charges against him, got no jail time. None. And Smedley kind of lost his shit at that point and went on a tirade on Twitter at the guy who avoided jail time's Twitter handle. And of course, the immediate response was to just attack him over and over again. And so it sounds like he had just had enough of that. And probably my guess is Daybreak's not doing really so well since it split off from Sony. And so he just gave up the ghost. And the press release essentially said he would be coming back to work for Daybreak at some point in the future after a well-deserved break in another capacity. But it brings up the fact that where do rational people draw the line? I get why both Jackass Squad and probably others, imitators, hangers-on, followers, drilled this guy so much because of those three little words, CEO, you know, and it's easy to get people on your side against corporations, against CEOs, this, that, and the other thing. And while a lot of them are dickheads, Smedley's always been one of those ones, even back in his days at Sony when he wasn't part of, you know, when he wasn't the head of the division that ran MMOs, has always seemed more even keel. He's said some stupid stuff, no doubt, but this seems like too far. And I worry that people who feel that way don't feel comfortable or confident enough to come out and say this is too far.
Yeah.
We're now being lorded over by jackasses who, and what are they proving? Yeah, I know we always say hackers gonna hack to get me off this topic, but legitimately at this point, what are they proving?
This is, you know, showing off who got the biggest guns, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they're about as well endowed as a neutered pig, neutered boar.
Well, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but it is an EPing thing. And it's funny because I've mentioned this to Agent K because it kind of pissed me off when I heard about it the first time. Agent K's thing was living in the UK, living under the EU, and it's probably really not much better in Canada and the US. Is okay, so somebody gets a year or two in jail for downloading Frozen illegally. Yet this asshole has caused harm to people who did nothing to him. And quite honestly, John Smedley didn't even do anything to these guys specifically. And yet they get off scot-free. You know, even the government doesn't know how to handle things that go on the internet. And that's not helping the situation any.
No, it does not.
Because I'm not super law and order, everybody must go to jail because it's illegal, but the dude they had 200 to 300 charges on him, and he still managed to wiggle out with just fines. That ain't, you know, and then you're messing with somebody's personal financial records and financial stuff. I don't care if they are a CEO. It guess what? What it says to me is, okay, they're doing it with these guys now. You could be next. You know, I would suspect that you probably feel for those people, given that you were affected to some extent by the original Sony hack.
For sure. I might not have been, felt the being compromised directly, you know, in terms of, like, nothing happened to me. I didn't have any false credit card purchases, nothing like that. But, you know, the risk was there. I mean, the reality was there. Yeah, you're totally right. I do feel for them a bit.
I guess my biggest hope is that the tipping point is coming to where a majority of gamers in the internet wake up to the fact that these people in general do more harm than good. But a lot of it's so nebulous, it's you know, really hard to say. I mean, you even go to more serious businesses, serious like Snowden and the people who work for WikiLeaks, not Assange himself. He was just a figurehead and a really bad one at that. Hope he's enjoying the Ecuadorian embassy because I think he's going to spend the rest of his life there. There's way more questions than you're going to find answers for comfortably. But
yeah,
I think we need to evaluate what good and bad is. You know, there was a lot of uproar when the internet forced Phil Fish off of it, and how dare we. That was also due to online harassment. From my position, Fish's case, it was online harassment that he asked for, that he pretty much didn't, or maybe he didn't ask for it, but he didn't help quell it either.
No.
You know, which in a way, neither did Smedley, because he finally blew his lid and didn't walk away from the computer when he maybe should have.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a certain amount of putting yourself out there a little bit too much.
Yeah, it's tricky because it's all in public.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, it's... I don't know. This was a week of a lot of quandaries. Not much gaming news, but a lot of quandaries. Well, it's just like I saw a trailer, another trailer for No Man's Sky, which is, by the way, coming to PC if you've not already heard that. I didn't see much there that made me any more interested than, or even disinterested. It didn't swing me back the other way either than I was before. I'm not sure about that one, but it is now coming to consoles and PC, or PS4, I guess, and PC.
Yeah. Not, and that's not surprising to me at all.
Well, I'm of two minds on that, because a PC gamer's attitude when a big franchise that they may be interested in doesn't get a port to PC, the fear is usually over, like Destiny. Destiny was a prime example. That thing was ready built for PC. The gameplay and the game types and everything about Destiny really said PC, especially on last gen hardware for console. And yet Bungie did what Bungie always does. They stay console. But in a lot of cases, you tell a PC gamer that Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider is not coming out to 2016, they'll go, okay. And they'll go back to playing whatever they were playing. PC gamers still have that luxury. So, on one hand, I see the incentive for a company not to worry about PC too much, but at the same time, you're also turning down a lot of potential money. I guess in a way it's easier to find things to entertain yourself in the meantime if you're mostly gaming on PC.
I mean, there's enough stuff that's cheap, on PC to get you through the any downtimes for sure.
Well, especially if you're open-minded enough to understand that games are fun and I want to play games for fun, so I'm gonna dig through and find something that will amuse me.
Hey, speaking of games that are on PC that are now showing up on consoles, the Binding of Isaac Rebirth showed up on the eShop today, which was a game that was, noted for not being approved by Nintendo because of its, religious content and connotations.
Right.
And it finally showed up today, and yeah, it's $20, and on Steam it's like $16.99 or whatever it is, and.
I'm trying to remember what the difference between the original. Wasn't Rebirth a new package, or was it always the Binding of Isaac Rebirth?
No, the original one was like a Flash game. This one is, I think it's a full HD game with control gamepad controls, and I think there's more items, more areas, more just it's just a more complete package. But
Okay.
I think on the whole, it's still the same game, but it's just an expanded version.
Yeah, I thought the original was just called The Binding of Isaac, and I don't even think I watched a playthrough on that. Because I thought about doing it because the game didn't appeal to me because of its graphics. It's kind of that Hotline Miami thing. There was a again. I'm not a graphics whore, but there was just certain things about it that's like, I don't know if I can watch that for an entire, I can look at that as I play through for an entire however long it lasts. The Rebirth version sounds like might be something I'd be interested in. So I might have to look at that. But again, that's where Nintendo and Sony and Microsoft fall down. And I wonder how much is the console companies and how much is the devs, because it's like, yeah, why is it listed on any console for more expensive than it is on PC or Mac? I think Binding of Isaac does go to both and Linux too. Especially when it's a game that will run on a lot of PCs. You know what I mean? Because if it doesn't run on a lot of PCs, then maybe you got them held hostage a little bit and can charge a little more. But when it runs on a majority of PCs, you're really not doing yourself any favors.
No.
But then again, if you predominantly get, let me ask you this. If you didn't have a PC that would run The Binding of Isaac, or you didn't have a PC that did more than answer email and yada yada, would you be willing to pay that? Because it's on console, it's all self-contained on your Wii U.
For $20?
Yeah, are you the wrong person to ask because you can't even put yourself in that?
Well, I'm a bit of a cheapskate anyway. I think I still would have thought that $20 was expensive.
So you wouldn't. So either way, that probably wouldn't have appealed to you.
Pricing wise, no, not really. I don't think so. I think I would find it too expensive. I'm a cheapskate anyway.
Right.
I might even get it for my Wii U, you know, whenever it goes on, inevitably goes on sale, because it seems like all the indie stuff does tend to go on sale eventually. But that's just me, being a cheapskate.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's probably market research and all that fun stuff that boardrooms eat up that tells them that enough people will buy it at that price so they can have it on their self-contained, no mucking about at all console, that they can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But for people like me who, even if I am playing on a currently really active console, like if I had an Xbox One sitting here, I wouldn't buy an indie game on it. Those are always fun to just kick around. You know, because my PC's always on. That's another factor that I don't think is super relative, but it is for me. My PC's always on. You know, if I can fire up Steam in 20 seconds and be playing the the Binding of Isaac, then I'm not going to fire it up an Xbox One or PS4. I could be hit with a system update. And it's like, that's definitely a niche area because I am that lazy. That's like, fuck it, I'd rather play my PC. And now I've got a $500 paperweight. But something you said about Binding of Isaac and all that, because that's, you know, it's a little weird, a little out there, got some pretty interesting story elements.
Mm-hmm.
Bike Man, who's a big time Twitch streamer, I kind of wish he put more of his stuff on YouTube, but he's just funny. If you like watching Twitch streams at all, go catch him when he's on, because I think he's a crazy person, but he's a crazy person that does Twitch, so he's good. But he played a game the other day called The Magic Circle. It's on Steam, Early Access, and it's such an interesting game that I'm not even sure how much I could tell you about it. Because I watched his entire hour and 30 minute stream, and I may have spoiled too much of the game for myself to play it. I will say this much. You are a playtester of an unfinished game, and it just gets weirder from there.
Hmm.
Like, to the point that he was playing it for, you know, I knew the runtime on his YouTube video was an hour and 38 minutes.
Yeah.
And got to a certain point in the game, like 20 minutes in, I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, is this a roguelike? Is this going to, you know, repeat itself? Which apparently is all roguelike means. Finally figured that out. I may have knew it already, but I'm tired of seeing that on every third fucking indie game on Steam. Well, if you think about it, the original Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong were roguelikes.
Yeah.
Bit of a stretch, but you get my point.
Yeah, when you're dead, you're dead.
Well, you come back as a... No, you don't come back as a different person. But anyway. He played another one that I'm not really sure I want to play, but it was a Kickstarter build that they gave him to, you know, kind of pimp it out there because he's got a lot of Twitch followers, which is something that coming here soon is going to... There's going to be a backlash to that because Twitch streamers are starting to be seen as hacks in media, and either the streamers themselves are going to have to pick and choose when they play early builds, or game companies, especially indie ones, are going to have to be more careful about what they do Because, as usual, it was a good thing, and so people are overusing it. But anyways, with this magic circle, oh no, it wasn't a roguelike. They just fucking, there was a twist. Like, okay, you were here, now you're doing this. And it's like, what? And I just couldn't stop watching it. Like, if it had any brains at all, it's such a twisted, fucking weird game. Yet still, I think, accessible to all because it's a little Cargo, the Quest for Gravity like, basically just twisted for its own twisted sake. Yet it still has a lot to it that would make maybe less screwed up people want to delve into it more. I'm still thinking about purchasing it for Steam, even if I don't play it, because those kind of devs really should be supported. Because I just kept sitting there and I couldn't stop watching him play it. I wasn't at, and again, I wasn't watching him on Twitch. I do, but I didn't catch his stream that day. I was doing something else or at work. And so I couldn't stop watching. I mean, he was mindful of it too, because he's like, I really want you guys to go buy this on Steam. And he was like avoiding areas and things just so that people who were like me and couldn't stop watching had something to look forward to. So if you like things a little out there, or if you see it on sale, it's totally, totally, totally worth it. Let me see if I can pull up how much it is on Steam. I'm gonna guess if they got really, really happy with themselves, it might be towards the $20 range. Yeah. Hey, I spelled circle wrong and fucked it all up, but I still managed to get it on the first try. Let me shut off the video so it doesn't fuck up the mostly positive. 19.99 for just the game itself. I would probably give him that, and in a way, watching Bike Man play it probably helped that. But it's got a couple videos, it's got some screenshots. I mean, the art style probably would appeal to you, John, would definitely appeal to Glacinator. Let me see if I can grab a screenshot while we're talking. 1999 is a slight bit high, but it's debatable. I will put it that way to stop stumbling around as I'm typing. It's debatable and close to call. But if you saw it on Steam sale, I would for sure. I would for sure say it's worth the romp. And the other good thing is even though it's what I would call twisted, it's I didn't see anything in it that didn't mean, Peter couldn't sit there at least watch you play it. And I know that's not a deal breaker if he can or he can't. You work around it as you are with Alien Isolation, but I'm also seeing, as I'm sure you and Wanda are, that it's becoming more of a thing. He knows what games are now, and so it's like there's a couple screenshots for you. I think one of those was concept and one of those was taken from the game itself. But it is becoming more of a thing. And honestly, the art, the fact that it was an interesting take on things, and the mechanics of the game, it really was, it was refreshing. And of course, bonus, you're always going to draw me in like a moth to a flame if it's a little out there and a little weird.
Sure.
I guess the final thing I'd say about it is if you like game development in any form and like parodies of it, like inside jokes that even I felt most people could get. I definitely got them, and I'm don't know a ton about game development per se, or purse. The humor hit home.
Okay.
So yeah,
I'll check
that's. Have you been able to complete any more Alien Isolation?
it out. Well, to be honest, I my wrestling obsession continues. I've been watching way too much wrestling and not playing a lot of games, even though I'm slowly still acquiring more and more. But I have not sat down to play more Alien Isolation. I wish I had, but it seems like my routine during the week has become: I watch Raw Mondays, Tuesdays. Juan and I will watch True Detective or whatever show we have recorded, and from the weekend. And then on Wednesday, I go to my mom's place and for supper, and we come back, and I come back here, and Juan and I hang out some more. No, that's not true. Wednesday I'll watch NXT, and then which invariably runs into an old Raw episode. Thursdays, of course, I'm here, and Friday, and then you're back to the weekend, and you're the weekend doing stuff in the summer. So even if it is cold,
Are you and Wanda watching True Detective season 2?
We are, yes.
Okay, now. This is something we can have maybe a mini discussion about, even though I'm going off polling off the internet. But we'll get to that. Actually, let me get this in the right order. We'll get to True Detective here in a second. Interestingly, watching social media, it seems like the WWE might be doing things slightly better. Yeah, I know I follow a lot of smarks on all kinds of social media, so they might not be the best barometer.
Mm-hmm.
You would count as somebody who's a fan and smart about it. I wouldn't call you necessarily a smark with a sarcastic twist. But both you and Roger have been posting, and I went, it appears, at least thumb sketch, that the WWE might be doing slightly better with their booking here in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, there are some bright spots, that's for sure. In particular, things going on these days with Mr. John Cena and his choices of opponents he's been having with his U.S. Championship have been pretty good, and the women's division has actually improved with the addition of some of the girls who are doing amazing things in NXT are now on the main roster. And so, I mean, there are definitely some bright spots to be had. There's still some frustrating stuff that goes on, of course, but I do enjoy the tweeting about wrestling and actually doing a little periscoping about wrestling.
I enjoy watching. I enjoy listening to you guys. You, Roger, although he doesn't tweet a lot about it. John Canton, who I've mentioned before, was writing for that site way back in the day, Oratory. He now does the John Report. Him, and there's a couple others. I apologize for not remembering your name. John Canton, who was just known to me as John C. back then. He's always had a pretty level, even keel about wrestling, even though he knows a ton about it and probably falls in the quote-unquote smart category.
Mm-hmm.
And so I enjoy on Monday nights watching you guys and seeing what you're saying. And because at the end of the day, especially if you were previously a fan of something like wrestling, you hope that your friends and the audience in general is getting something that they enjoy. I've been saying every year I get older, but it seems like every month I get older. I'm less about hating stuff. Don't panic. I can still work up a good rant when the situation dictates it. But maybe it doesn't even have to do with age. It's just the amount of effort it takes and how many people are ranting and panicking and outraging at things that just don't deserve it. Or things that maybe you should save your energy for something more worthy.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line, I'm really happy to see that they're doing better. And Cena specifically, even in his younger days, I always thought that when he got to a certain point in his career, he'd be like The Rock in that, yeah, he's going to still win a lot. Yeah, he's still a face of the company, but he's going to be behind the scenes more willing to put over some younger people and help them come along, maybe.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that transition with John now.
And I would agree with that. He's actually having matches every week on Monday. He'll have a match with somebody on the card who you wouldn't really expect to see him interact with in most cases. And coming out with a 15-20 minute match that's typically out of this world. I mean, Yeah, he's currently cementing his legacy as one of the all-time greats, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, everyone, he has lots of detractors, of course, but from oversaturation.
Right.
But then again, I mean, I don't think there's been a guy since. I mean, I was listening to someone talk about it today, and I tend to agree. I don't know if there's been a guy since Bruno Sammartino that for longevity and being able to lean on the guy and on a consistent basis and have him be that face and also, not be injured too often and have good matches and represent the company in a positive light. It's kind of hard to deny it as much as you want to boom a bit because of you probably see him too much, but it is and now he's going out there and having tremendous matches and putting guys over. And I mean, he's still winning technically, but he's making everyone look like $1 million who works with him. And I mean, and that's not all him either, because the people he's wrestling have a lot of talent and have and but it's showing they have something to offer, to the masses, right?
This is gonna get me killed, but I think Sammartino did it longevity. That's where Cena ties in again. But I think, from my perspective, more outside looking in these days, Cena is like The Rock, Stone Cold, and Triple H were to the Attitude Era. They didn't do it for the longevity, and Triple H is debatable, but definitely Austin and Rock, because they were the face of the company and held, kept the company upright in a lot of situations during the Attitude Era. Triple H probably suffered from overexposure, and he's such a hard one to analyze because now you have the crap in the mix of he's married to the boss's daughter. And even to somebody like me, who's very or attempts to be objective and look at things as presented, it still makes that one difficult to call. But Cena, to me, was purely oversaturation is why he had so many problems with the audience. There were a lot of wrestling fans that were butthurt when The Rock's Hollywood career started to take off. Austin was injured a lot, starting with his really bad neck injury. I saw that video again the other day. So watching a top when I'm either doing paperwork or worm combing, I'm watching a lot of top 10 lists and a lot of countdown lists, stuff like that. I actually saw saw that pile driver again, and it still makes my fucking skin crawl now. And so I'm just kind of glad to see that they put Cena in a role to do that. And not even because it proves private thoughts I had in my head about him right. You go and look back at when Cena was the last entrant in the Rumble after being hurt. You can't fake that pop. The only pop that makes my skin get goosebumps more was Triple H at the Garden when he came back from the twin quads. Could the audio levels have been tweaked on both? Potentially, but you got to have, as somebody who works with audio a lot, because I suck at recording it for my videos,
Well, I
you
mean,
have to have something there to tweak.
but I mean, but you can't edit people jumping up and down, jumping out of
Right.
their chairs, and just bouncing all around like popcorn. It's just you can't fake that. But I mean, as far as Austin and Rock go, I mean, their terms as the faces of the company were relatively short. I mean, Austin was only really hot. He won the belt in 98, and then he was done by 2000 and what, 2003? And like you said, he was injured in between there quite a bit. So I mean, I don't know if Cena was ever been as hot as Austin in terms of bringing the wrestling to the new audience and making it as big. And Rock's run was as a top babyface was probably what, 90 not two you know 2000 to two
Well, if you're counting it as babyface only, which I had forgotten about that aspect of Cena, Yeah, but I think the other thing a lot of times it muddles our memory, not so much their runs as face or heel, but Cena to me always seems like he's never had a similar superstar on that same level as him.
Yeah, well,
Trips.
that's the overarching problem with this era.
And the Austin and Rock kind of mixed together, and then you had Triple H. You had an Undertaker who was still kind of there in his prime, although I will debate that to the death and not really. So that's the other thing that I think makes Cena so remarkable. Punk hadn't been Punk, he could have easily have come in earlier and kind of done that same thing, I think, with Cena, the way the Rock and Austin kind of traded it back and forth.
Yeah, I mean Punk, Punk fell victim to, politics within the company and not entirely one-sided. And I think
I
he.
was just gonna say his I totally agree with that. Where I get irritated with a wrestling audience, same way I get irritated with gamers. Call a spade, Punk's ego got him into a lot of that fucking shit too.
Yeah, and it's egos butting heads completely.
Right, right.
Unable to cooperate and be fucking adults.
Yeah, because you can be the greatest ever. If you're on a platform that doesn't allow people to see that, then you're nothing.
Yeah. But I mean, The Rock is the face of the company, and I mean, it doesn't have to be babyface role, but certainly, I mean, WWE is a babyface led company. Like, the top guy.
That never has changed.
That never has changed, and so I mean, Hogan had quite a long period on top. I mean, Hogan and Austin are probably the two hottest. The Rock was a huge top babyface star, and he got and now he's just globally he's even bigger now. But as far as being like the top dog of the company and being that face, his run was relatively short as well, probably from. '99 to what? To 2000? When did he fight Hogan? Because after he fought Hogan, he kind of disappeared pretty soon thereafter. After he lost to Brock and started doing some Hollywood stuff, and his role became a little less pronounced.
When did Cena come in?
Cena came in around 2004, I think, around that era, around that time, and
Yeah,
it was.
I guess that really does get, because I'm seeing them as all kind of the similar arcs and runs. Because San Martino was there so fucking, he's so far ahead of everybody else.
Yeah. If my memory serves correctly, I think he won his U.S. championship at WrestleMania WrestleMania in 2004. I think so.
That makes sense because my interest started to wane right around that time. That might have been the last WrestleMania where I was with a group of friends and we bought the pay-per-view. And we're buying pay-per-views regularly as a group. I think the other thing too about Cena is Rock and Austin, and I don't think it would have worked any other way, Attitude Era or not, were not traditional baby faces.
No, I mean,
And
it's not. A, it's not. A, it's, it wasn't a traditional era of wrestling either. As much as it's what everybody thinks is the best thing ever, but it wasn't traditional either.
No. But those characters never would have worked. And that's kind of why I was always a fan of The Rock, because he was just more sarcastic when he was a heel. But he was always that really smart ass, not respected much.
Well, The Rock had that problem where when he turned heel, he was just so entertaining as a heel. They had no choice but to turn him babyface anyway.
Yeah, and I always thought that was a mistake. They should have just left him the fuck alone. Let the fans figure it out. Give them the WWE a lot of times doesn't give their fans enough credit. Some of them think they're smarter than the WWE, so you got the problem going both ways. But yeah, I'm just happy to see that Cena's doing it. I mean, people are gonna look. I think there's gonna be a lot of rational people who look back in 10 or 15 years that cut on him and go, "Yeah, I probably really fucking blew that." True. And I mean, there were times I got sick of hearing about him, third hand or whatever. I mean, you see the buildup of somebody, and But given the era they're in, I don't think there was, they couldn't have sent him off with a fake injury, which does happen, but because it just would have killed the company's momentum so much. But turning away from wrestling, here's what the internet tells me. Maybe that's what we should start doing. I should start terming it as, not even talk about social media. Just here's what the internet tells me. True Detective, which I have not watched because I'm a lazy bastard. I just can't. Just I suck is really what it comes down to. Season one, nerdgasms everywhere, everything is awesome. Season two, they changed it a little bit. Everybody doesn't like it as much or hates it. Is that are you having problems enjoying season two as much as you did season one, you and your wife, or what's the story there?
Well, for me, it's different by a lot. I mean, from it's still trying to be very grim and dark and gritty, true crime type stuff. Like it's so different, and like the plot of the first one was centered around a serial killer and two guys descending into just down basically down the shitter in terms of their personal lives and still trying to catch the bad guy. And in season two, it's more about dirty cops and gangsters and people trying. There's a little less sense of redemption there. Everyone's just trying to make it work. And it's not that it's I don't find it as good because I don't think A, I don't think the script is as good. B, I don't think the performances are quite as good. Though I like Colin Farrell's performances. Vince Vaughn is he's good sometimes, but he's pretty laughable in other times. So that inconsistency kind of takes a little bit away. But I don't know. The storyline of Vince Vaughn, Frank's his character Frank trying to acquire more, money for a land deal doesn't really resonate as much as, Woody Harrelson and McConaughey trying to track down this group of, sick bastards and the killer. It just doesn't resonate as much, I find.
Well, I'm not going to make fun of Vince Vaughn, even though I have said in the past he's much better in a secondary role than he has a leading or more serious role. But Harrelson's one of those ones, kind of like a lesser Hanks or Robin Williams, that can really blend into a role. And when I heard the premise for True Detective and what they intended to do with it, I really got the sense of American Horror Story, which is kind of an ensemble, it's different every season show on FX, that is very not family friendly and very twisted and dark. And you have this problem when you want to do things differently every season. Humans are creatures of routine, no matter how much we love to claim we're not. And so you're gonna have these speed bumps where maybe the parts and pieces didn't work as well together. And on top of that, no disrespect to Vaughn and the other actor who I already lost, you're following Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. I mean,
Yeah, I mean those guys
good luck.
knocked it out of the park so hard. It's difficult. But as far as the season two goes, I mean, I'm enjoying watching where the story is going and seeing how the because they started out the season with the first episode or two that were pretty vague and throwing you a lot of information at you in not any particular order. And I remember people commenting how confusing it was. And to a certain degree, it was, but now you're starting to see these things coming together, things that you learned early on, kind of, paying off later. So it's still worth the watch. I again, this doesn't grab me by the throat the way the first one did.
Well, what I'm hoping, or at least my theory is that enough people will hang in there or keep it an eye on it that maybe when they if they do another True Detective next year, with a different cast, different type of storyline, that it gets a little buzz. People will come back because the first one was so good. I think it's kind of the end game there for that type of... I like that they're doing it. You know, Netflix and Hulu Plus, as much as I've got personal issues with that one, HBO and their, of course, internet version, HBO Go, are making TV change, albeit glacier slowly. And that's why you're able to see things like, you know, American Horror Story on FX and True Detective. Which is, who is that? Is it True Detective HBO? I think. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
It's not Showtime.
It's one of them.
It's one of them, yeah. I'm not 100% certain.
Because, like, you extrapolated out Bill Simmons, who was not brought back to ESPN, a lot of it because he's Bill Simmons. And I saw all this speculation... I'm not spelling that right because I'm trying to do it quietly in three things at once. That, you know, oh, he'd end up at Fox. He'd end up at... It is HBO.
Okay, yeah.
Which John gets completely 1,000% legally. WonderPod cares. anyways, I stole that from something. Bonus points if you know where. Anyways, shit, and I lost it. What the hell was I talking about before I was looking that up? Oh, well. But, you know, it's just basically changing television. And, oh, Bill Simmons. There we go. Sorry. Got it. Yeah. You know, everybody's like, oh, he's going to sign up with Fox. He's going to sign up with CBS or NBC, who are all starting these little cable sports channels to try and compete with ESPN. And in my head, I'm like, it's going to be the same fucking thing. You're going to have management telling you can't bitch about Roger Goodell, you know, the NFL committee. You can't do this. You can't do that. I just don't see it. Nope. Signed a deal with HBO. It's like... Yeah, some of these guys are just seeing that they can still do their thing, but find a different platform to do it on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just, we'll see how it goes with True Detective and things like that. And as one final note, and then I think we'll wrap up the show and call it good. I was talking about top 10 lists earlier. I love watching paranormal shit. I don't care whether you believe in it or don't. I'm just talking like creepypastas from Reddit, stories and stuff that are put on YouTube in video form. I do have to say, though, I found the line. And that line is, any video containing succubus or incubus, which is the male... A lot of people, especially if you're a gamer, have probably heard of succubus. But incubus is the male form of that. And people having sexual congress, either consensual or not consensual... with said spirits. I attempted to listen or watch one video with people talk, you know, people basically reading off other people's accounts. I just couldn't even make it through 3 minutes of it. There's just some shit. It's just like, nope. Go sex. Not buying it. Not having it. If people think it happened to them, great. Fare thee well. But I found the fucking line when it comes to the paranormal. I thought it was so funny because it's like, damn, I'm pretty twisted and willing to watch some pretty screwed up shit, but that just, nope, no us. I'm tapping out. I don't want any more to do with this. I just... It also just makes me think, like, oh, how does that, I don't know, how does that even happen? What set of circumstances allows somebody to have that experience? maybe that's part of it. I can't even put any sense of logic to it, you know, because there's so many people who claim to be free thinkers and claim to be for logic and science and rationale and just completely dismiss anything paranormal and or supernatural, you know, even without conclusive evidence to say it doesn't happen and here's why, that they piss me off. And so when I watch it, or watch something or listen to something, I try to watch it from the basis of what kind of logic and rationale can I apply here? That was something that just, nope, it was making my brain hurt, so I quit. So there is, in fact, a limit to the screwed upness of something that I will consume. So on that note, this show was a little wonky because we were both tired. Maybe since we're a daring duo again next week, we'll get our shit together a little better for next week.
Yeah, I try to go to bed on a Wednesday night a little earlier.
Oh, dude, don't ask me why. I've just been doing a lot of stuff. I haven't been to bed before like 11 at all this week. And I can still do that. I haven't gotten to the grandpa point in age where that's just a really bad idea. But I'm to the point now where it does screw with my sleep schedule enough that I'm not a happy boy a lot of days. I'm just kind of grumpy and stick to myself. And it's best for all of humanity. But on that lovable note, if you'd like to get in touch with us, we have a ton of ways you can do that. First off, it's our Facebook. It's WonderPod Online. WonderPod Online. Shoot us a friend request. You will be accepted unless you're in an obvious spot. We have a website. It's wonderpodonline.com. Wonderpodonline.com, where mostly the podcasts get posted. But I can tell you that I will have one for sure, if not two new YouTube videos next week. That's right. I'm back. And if it works out the way I'm thinking, it's probably going to be a constant thing. And that will also be posted at wonderpodonline.com. But as far as the podcast goes, I put an embedded player with each post so that if you want to listen to it on a browser, you can. If you like MP3s, we are on iTunes. Just search WonderPod. If you don't like iTunes or want our entire catalog, go to archive.org. A great site. It's just search WonderPod there as well. We have YouTube channels. My YouTube channel, Bruce McGee, obviously. The Glacier Energy YouTube channel, 36 Wii YouTube channel, where you can watch all of his game clips. Thankfully, the new consoles are awesome for that. The What Chris Does YouTube channel, our buddy Chris Lloyd, awesome stuff on his channel. His girlfriend Olivia made this YouTube channel. We have a Twitter account. It's at WonderPodOnline, all one word, at WonderPodOnline. Shit, I'm forgetting and I don't care. We also have an email address. It's wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at ORIGIM. Or you can follow John on Twitter
at John Keogh, JONKEHOE.
Until episode 263, I'm not going to guarantee it's going to be better. I'm out of here. See you, people.
This will make me a little more awake.
Yeah, maybe more lively. Did you do your thing?
Hmm?
You didn't do your cheers, did you?
Oh, cheers.